In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. I'm your host, Nicole Bigley, and you are listening to a listener series on A Psychic Story. Hi, psychic listeners. Our guest for this episode is the first person to partake in a hybrid series for A Psychic Story, where we take listeners who submitted stories for the listener episodes and dive in a little deeper with them. Her life was forever changed by the loss of her eldest son, Connor, plunging her into the depths of single parenthood amidst profound sorrow. Faced with this tragedy, she instinctively buried her emotions, unknowingly bearing a heavy physical burden as a result. A series of fateful encounters culminated in her introduction to a psychic medium who revealed her latent gift as a healer. Driven by a profound need for healing and a longing to reconnect with her son, she then embarked on a transformative spiritual voyage. Empowered by her spiritual gift, she left her corporate career and founded Blissed Out Heart, a sacred haven where she skillfully employs breathwork to guide individuals through a journey of self-reconnection, emotional processing, and trauma recovery, illuminating paths to inner healing and bliss. This is the story of Angie Castor. Welcome to A Psychic Story, Angie.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here. I didn't tell you this, but I was waiting for this moment. So when I stumbled upon your podcast a little over a year ago, I think I'd maybe listened to a couple of episodes, and I just had this feeling, call it a premonition, call it manifestation, but I was like, at some point, I am going to be on this podcast. I didn't know why or how, but when you asked me if I wanted to do it, I was so excited. So thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, we have been talking for a while now. And I guess before we kind of get into all of the things that, you know, I read right before in that introduction, you know, Angie has been coming to me more for mentorship and helping to guide her in her spiritual journey. And it's just such a powerful story that you've had overall with your healing and that spiritual growth that I really felt led to ask you to be on. And here we are. So you're right. You had that premonition. And also it's one of those weird dynamics where it's like, I don't want to feel like I'm sourcing people for people that come to me in sessions, because that's not the case. That's not how it works. Don't book a session with me, you know, just in hoping to come on. It was just, you had such amazing, amazing experiences and stories, and one of which you even submitted to the listener episode, and which got me thinking, because I get so much feedback from people about, hey, love the episodes, love the guests, but how do we also have and share experiences that are more relatable to people too? Because when you hear something so profound, like a near-death experience, or I don't know, you talk to angels your whole life, but I don't have those experiences. How do I relate? You have a very relatable story and experience and healing journey. So I'm just going to hand it over to you and have you start wherever you would like to start and go from there.
You know, like you said in the introduction, you know, my healing journey and my spiritual, if you want to call it remembering or awakening or whatever you want to call it, are so intertwined. You know, you can't really separate one from the other. Probably the best place to start is a time in my life where like my whole entire world just collapsed and fell apart. I had been diagnosed with cancer. It was 2009. I had two boys, was married at the time, and, you know, fought through that and recovered from that. And then in 2010, in the fall, my husband and I had decided to separate and started the process of getting divorced. And then in December of 2010, my oldest son, Connor, passed away. So I was, I can't even explain to you what that was like. The most horrendous experience, you know, any parent could possibly ever experience. And I found myself in this place where, you know, I was a single mom now. I was going through a divorce. I was trying to deal with my younger son's grief and pain, trying to deal with my grief and pain. And it was just a really, really horrible time. And it got worse, unfortunately. So fast forward the following fall, you know, in the divorce, I got left with a mortgage I couldn't afford, debt I couldn't pay off, and I had to short sell my house. So the following fall, I lost my home. And then that January, I lost my job. So when I say my world collapsed around me, I mean, it literally collapsed around me. And, you know, I didn't grow up in a home where we talked about our feelings and we expressed our emotions, and we just didn't do that. So I did what I knew how to do. And that was, I just buried it so deep inside of me. And I just felt like I didn't have a choice, you know, to sit and process everything that had happened. I had to build a new life. I had to be a mom, had to take care of my son. And so I just kind of charged forward in building my life. And I didn't really sit and process everything that I had been through. And so my body was yelling at me during all of this, and I ignored it. So I started having all of these health issues, panic attacks, migraines, my thyroid totally shut down. I had adrenal fatigue. I, like, you name it. I had a heartburn, like severe heartburn. I had weird rashes. And all the while, I just kept ignoring it and just kept like pushing it down and pushing it down and pushing it down. And so, you know, I built my new life and I got remarried and I gained a wonderful daughter and had a successful career. I was going to visit my son who was living in Alabama, and he was dating a new girlfriend, and it was going to be the first time I was going to meet her. And this was just a couple of years ago. So I was trying to figure out, you know, how I could relate to her and what we could talk about. And I asked my son, he had told me that she loved to read. And so I asked my son, well, what kind of books does she like to read? And he said, spiritual books. And I was dumbfounded because at this time, I was not spiritual. I would have told you I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in prayer. I didn't believe in religion. Like, I was this, the whole spiritual thing was so far out there to me that I seriously was like, oh, what am I going to talk to this girl about? I don't even know what that means. I didn't even know what a spiritual book was. So I was like, well, this is going to be, you know, an interesting trip. I hope I can find something to talk to her about. And so I had this feeling like, oh, I should just find out what her favorite book is. I can read it on the airplane and it'll give me something to talk about. So I asked her. She told me the book Signs by Laura Lynn Jackson. I did not read what the book was about. I didn't know who Laura Lynn Jackson was. I just downloaded it on my Kindle and I got on the airplane and I spent the next 3 hours in tears on the airplane and was just dumbfounded by that book. And I noticed that you had that book in your stack of books that you posted the other day on Instagram. So this started this question for me of, is Connor trying to communicate with me? Is he still around? And I've just shut down so much because it was so painful that I've prevented any communication from happening. So I went on the trip, had a great trip. I came back. Luckily, I was going to an amazing therapist at the time. And I said to her, do you think it's possible, you know, that our loved ones are still trying to communicate with us? And she said to me, are you asking me as a person or as a therapist? And I said, as a person, I know what the therapist's answer is. And so she shared experiences with me that she had had. And so I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to process everything I've been to in the hopes of being able to communicate with Connor. So around that same time, my best friend, whose husband had passed away several years before, had booked an appointment with a medium. Her name was Kelly. And I had always been super fascinated by psychics and by the paranormal and have been very curious about it. But something always prevented me from ever booking an appointment and going. I grew up in an LDS family. We're taught that's evil. even though, you know, I left the church at a young age and didn't believe in that stuff, I think there was just still something, you know, some little nugget that had been planted telling me, I don't know if you want to do this. And so she convinced me. She said, you know, just book the appointment. Kelly was booked out like 6 weeks anyway. So it was like, book the appointment. And if, you know, it gets closer to the appointment and you feel like it's not the right thing, then just cancel it. So that's what I did. I showed up for my appointment and I was very skeptical. I didn't want to tell her anything. Like, I had done some sleuthing online to find out what she could find out about me online before my appointment, you know, I wasn't going to give away anything. And so on that first appointment, one of the first things she says to me is, you're a natural healer. I had no clue what that even meant. And I was just so focused on if Connor was going to show up that I just kind of, you know, let that go to the side and didn't really think much about it. And Connor showed up. I was so happy. You know, right out of the gate, she said, there's a young man here. He's like jumping up and down. He's so excited. He's just saying, I'm here. She knows I'm here. And so, you know, that session was like 10 years of therapy. It was amazing. And at the end of the session, she says to me, again, you're a natural healer. Your ancestors are encouraging you to invest in yourself. And I was like, okay, all right. And I hung up and didn't really think anything about it again. You know, my focus was if Connor was going to show up, and I was so happy that he did. And then I just started thinking about it more and was like, what is that? I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a healer? And ended up finding out that she had also done sessions with several people that I knew, and they had all had great experiences. And I was like, did she tell you were a healer?
Yeah, is that the thing that she goes to for everybody? Yeah.
Yeah. Is she just telling you that? Because, you know, you could work with her and she'll help develop. So I was like, is this just like a scam? I was, you know, she thinks I'm gullible. I asked some people, other people had worked with her, and they were like, no, she's awesome. She's legit. So then I thought, well, I'm going to go to some other mediums and see what they say. And so I did that. And, you know, I went to a couple of different ones and they both said the same thing. As like, as soon as I sat down, they're like, oh, you know, you have these abilities. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to open myself up to this and see what that actually means. I had, you know, growing up, I'd felt spirits around me. I would have told you that my intuition was like spot on and 100%. And I could, you know, feel energy of room and people, but I had no idea what that meant. I never would have said that meant that, you know, that I was a medium or that I was a healer. So I started working with her and I just had these wild experiences. Even now, you know, it hasn't been that long and I'll have these moments of like, is this real? Is this legit? Is this really happening? And then I think of, you know, just the experiences I've had over the last 2 years, where I've opened myself up and I have communicated with Connor and I have communicated with, you know, other family members and things. And so it's really hard to deny once when you look back and go, oh yeah, forget it. All these amazing things that have happened. I started kind of opening up to that reality and tapping into these, you know, gifts that I had and trying to discover what they were, listening to podcasts and reading every book I could possibly read. Some of the stuff is so far out there, you know, I'm like an infant, you know, and I'm listening to stuff from people that are, you know, 100 years wiser than I am as far as all this stuff goes. And so a lot of it, I was just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. And then I found your podcast and it was so helpful to me because I didn't have like a tribe of people around me that were having the same experiences. I didn't have friends that were having the same experiences. I didn't know anyone else. And so when I stumbled upon your podcast, it was like, oh, there's all these people and they might be light years ahead of me, but they've had these similar experiences. And so it made me feel less alone and like, oh, there are other people that are having these experiences. I'm not nuts. There are people, they seem, you know, smart and successful, and I'm not, you know, I'm not by myself. There's other people. And so I, you know, blew through your podcast, listening to those stories. So through this process, my niece introduced me to breathwork. And she said to me, you know, I've started doing this thing. It's called breathwork. You have to kind of have an open mind. And I am always you know, open for an adventure and a new experience. So I was like, okay, I'll go. I don't know what it is, but I'll go. And so I found myself in a group breathwork class for people that don't know what it's like you, it looks like a big slumber party. Everyone shows up and they've got blankets and, you know, pads and mats that they're laying on, and everyone lays down and it's guided with music and you breathe in this circular conscious breathing pattern. And I'm laying there and I'm hearing these people around me, you know, crying, clearly going through something coming up. And I'm like, don't know what's happening. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. But I reached this, you know, state of consciousness where it was, you know, it was like a deep meditative state. And I just kind of felt like I was floating and I felt calm and peaceful. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what that was, but I'm going to go back. And so I did. And it took me, you know, 5 or 6 times of going before I realized, like, oh, you have all of this grief and all of this anger and pain and sadness inside of you, and you've just been holding on to it. And I intuitively realized, like, not processing that pain and everything that I went through was actually the cause of all of my health issues. I had not made that connection prior. So I'm, you know, maybe I'm not a fast learner, I'm a slow learner, but I just all of a sudden realized, like, oh, you have to heal all of that trauma and that pain to heal your body. And as I started, you know, healing from that pain and doing it mostly through breath work and meditation and tapping into my spiritual gifts, you know, I don't have all of those symptoms anymore. I don't have the migraines anymore. I don't have, you know, the panic attacks and all of the stuff. I was blown away by that. And so, you know, this, like I said, this all started about 2 years ago. And in 2023, I was laid off from my job. And I told my husband, I was like, I can't, it's like sucking my soul to be in this job. So I was in technology. I'd been doing software sales, one of the top reps. Like the year before, I had closed the biggest deal in company history. So I'd had a very successful career. But when I got laid off, I was just like, I don't think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, it's not fulfilling.
You do all that, you're so successful, and then you're still let go. It's got to be like a kick in the, you know what?
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's, you know, that's kind of how technology is. But yeah, I just realized, like, it wasn't fulfilling, even though I was, you know, having all this success and closing these big deals and making all this money. I wasn't fulfilled and I wasn't happy. And so I was like, I wonder if there's a breathwork certification happening. I have the time now. I'm laid off. I don't know what I'm going to do, but maybe I'll just get certified while I'm, you know, figuring my life out, starting to rebuild again. And there happened to be, like, a month after I got laid off, there was a training and a certification course. And so I decided to get certified. You know, in my career, the very thing I loved the most was working with people and helping people. And I always equated that to my success, right? Because people could tell that I generally cared about them. I wanted them to be successful. And it was the human connection that I loved so much about my job. And so I just decided, I'm like, I don't know how it's going to work out. I'm going to just trust that the universe set this up for me, right? Because I'd had this massive year, 2022, and then this happened in 2023. And I just really felt like the universe had set this, teed this up for me, right? And so I started Blissed Out Heart, which for me, all of this has been a journey to my heart and opening my heart and learning to take down all of those barriers that I've built up over the years. In doing that, I have found so much more joy and happiness and bliss in my life. And so that's why it's called Blissed Out Heart. And so I do work with people one-on-one and do group classes now, guiding people through the breath. And it's been amazing healing for me as well, being on the other side of it. And I still continue to do breath work, but it's been just an amazing ride and experience. And that's kind of how I ended up here.
Well, thank you for all that. You were so succinct, and you've had a lot happen in your life. So to share that from 2009 up until now, and just that whole journey. But I do want to kind of take some steps back, if you don't mind, and maybe start from the very, very beginning, because you mentioned that you grew up in an LDS family and you were taught that communicating with spirits is out of the devil and everything else. But yet you also mentioned, and you breezed over the fact that you were able to feel, or you remember feeling spirits around you. So share a little bit about that. And then obviously I would assume then you just kind of stuffed it down and ignored that part until then all of those other things started to open up and you were going to mediums and they were telling you, no, you can do this, but oh yeah, and you're also a healer. So share about maybe the growing up part and what that was like. And then also what helped you open up, and if it was maybe your son Connor, to these other abilities and things that you have.
Yeah. So, growing up Mormon, for those of you that don't know, the term LDS and Mormon are the same thing. You know, we're taught that people that claim that they can speak to spirit or speak to God, they're actually talking to the devil. And so it's really, really frowned upon. The thing that's interesting that I just learned maybe over the last year was that Joseph Smith, who was the founder of the church, actually started by using divination tools and runes and things. And you don't hear about that.
I saw like some documentary about that or some, I forget what it was. It may have been one of those documentaries that also elaborated a little bit on the drama side, but yes, divination and the fact that he could talk to God and all the, but only he could, not everybody else type of thing.
Well, actually in the beginning, he told his followers that anyone could. So he told people, anyone can get message from spirit. Anyone can talk to God. And then my personal opinion is he realized the power he was letting go by saying that. And so he reeled it back and said, no, only the prophet can talk to God. So that's, the environment that I grew up in. When I was little, and I've learned recently that this is common for people who can communicate with spirit, but I would have sleep paralysis all the time and I didn't know what it was. And I would wake up and I thought there was like a demon sitting on my chest. That was the experience I had. And again, I didn't grow up in a family where we talked about stuff. So I never told anyone. And I just had this experience growing up forever. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that's like a common experience that people have when they have sleep paralysis. But I was never what I would call a good, quote unquote, good Mormon. I always had issues with the church. There were periods though where I was like, oh, I'm going to be a good Mormon and I'm going to read my scriptures and I'm going to say my prayers. And when I would do that, I would feel spirit in my room with me. And it scared me because I had been told, right, that it was evil. And so when I would say my prayers, I would feel these presences in my room with me and it would freak me out. So I stopped saying prayers. And I stopped reading and I was like, no, like the church is evil. They've told me, right? Like it's evil for this to happen. And so what happens when I pray or I read my scriptures, then it must be evil. And so I made that correlation. But I can think of several times in my life where I would just feel someone in my room with me or in my house somewhere with me. And so I grew up having those experiences. I never saw them or talked to them or communicated, but I could feel them in my space. And I did. I never told anyone. I just always equated it to, I don't know what I equated it to, my intuition or something. But again, I never equated my intuition to having any sort of spiritual gifts, right? And so, I was always very sensitive to the energy in people's homes. So I could walk into someone's house and be like, ooh, I don't want to be in this house or, a building or, that kind of thing.
Which is more of that like psychic ability versus necessarily the intuitive stuff. When you were having those experiences as you were growing up and then you got older and then with the loss of your son, did you feel your son around too? Or was it usually generally the spirits around you, not loved ones, and they were just kind of watching you? Like what was the experience you were having there?
Yeah. So, I shared this story on your podcast with the listener stories, but shortly after Connor had passed away, I was in, my bathtub taking a bath, trying to relax, and no one was home. I had two dogs and his bedroom was down the hall. And I heard this, you know, huge thud on the bathroom door and it scared me to death. And I laid there for a minute. This is what I do when I'm scared and I'm home alone and I hear a noise. I just lay there and I'm like, well, no one's come.
Most of us just, what was that? If I put the covers over my head and just pretend that it's not there, then I ignore it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm like, if no one's broken in 2 minutes, then I'm probably fine. So I just continued with my bath. And then I opened the door and one of Connor's favorite books was on the floor outside of the door. The book had been up on his dresser in his bedroom. So there was no way, you know, my dogs could have gotten it and brought it out. And man, I scoured through that book looking for like something in that book. But honestly, that was the only experience I had with him until, you know, 2 years ago. And like I said, I think it was so painful for me. I mean, obviously I thought about him. I think about him every day. I still do. But it was so painful for me to like really remember.
A grief can be that barrier or that wall essentially to allow them to kind of come through.
Yeah. And so, you know, I remember being at a party with a bunch of women and some of them had also lost children and they were asking, right? Like, do you still feel? And I was like, no. But everyone else was like, yeah, they're still here. I still feel him. And I was just like, I don't feel him. I feel other spirits, but for some reason I didn't feel him. So it took me, yeah, like processing and healing from that grief and for him to be able to come through. And it's, you know, it's been interesting too, because I'm super into dream work and I get a lot of messages and information in my dreams. Before I started the process of healing, when he would show up in a dream, it didn't happen very often, but when he would, it was always like a reliving of the loss. It was always like holding on to him because I knew he was going to die or trying to find him and not being able to find him. And now when he visits me in my dreams, we like sit and talk, right? Like it's such a different experience and it's so beautiful and so amazing. And so, yeah, I do think that grief, if you are so caught up in that grief, that is a barrier mm-hmm. and a mm-hmm. block.
And it sounds like maybe he was trying to help you work through that grief in the dream, but you didn't necessarily know. And you said that you were a slow learner. I think you're a fast learner. It just probably took a while for it for that part to connect a little bit. But that was, you know, what I'm just picking up is it was like him trying to help you not move on, but like go through it and heal from that standpoint. Okay. So when you were going to these other mediums and they said that you're a healer, and then you mentioned the breath work, can you share how you made that connection of, yes, I am a healer. This is what it means to me. And this is how I'm going to use breath work, not just for your own personal, but to be in service to others, because you glossed over that a little bit. I'm sure that there was a lot of things that you went through to kind of come to that conclusion and to start your business.
So, you know, I honestly still have a hard time actually saying I'm a healer. It just seems like, who am I to say, you know, that I'm a healer? So I still have a hard time even wrapping my head around that. But really, it was a kind of a culmination of things, right? So I started doing the breathwork classes and I started healing and, you know, simultaneously tapping into these spiritual things and these spiritual gifts. And I briefly mentioned dream work, and dream work played a huge role in that as well. So I've always had like wild dreams, and I would get visited by ghosts in dreams and had very vivid dreams. And so I also started on this path of trying to tap into my dreams and doing dream work, and started, you know, having out-of-body experiences and doing astral travel, and got really into dream interpretation and attended classes. And then I found, you know, a specific type of dream interpretation that just really resonated with me. And through that interpretation and my dreams, I was being told over and over and over again, almost in every single dream I have, you know, that I'm a channel and that I'm a hands-on healer, and that is encouraging me to do those things. And quite honestly, I didn't know where to start. Like, how do you just all of a sudden go, I'm a healer?
Praise baby.
Come to my house.
Praise baby Jesus. I'm a healer.
Yeah. It's like, how do you do that? It was so foreign to me to even say that. Like I said, it's still hard for me to wrap my head around even saying that and use that word.
It's still hard for me to say I'm a psychic. I mean, hi folks. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a psychic. And so like it had worked so well for me just in healing myself that it really was just a matter of, I think this will really help a lot of people. And I think it'll help a lot of people who've lost, you know, loved ones. And this, you know, could potentially be a modality for me to help people and tap into that healing ability. And so, you know, for me, it is a sacred ceremony before I have someone come to a session with me. You know, I clear the energy, I call in my angels, I ask to be a conduit for healing in whatever way that is, you know, whatever's best for that person that's in front of me. And the experiences that people have are pretty spectacular. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like 9 out of 10 people that I work with end up getting a visit from a past loved one. And, you know, they're able to just release so much trauma and stuff that they're storing in their bodies. And so I don't know what it's going to look like. Like, this is kind of a grand experiment for me, right? Like, I think it's going to evolve. I'm starting to see patterns in the type of people that come to me and the experiences they've had. And so I'm sure it's going to grow and evolve. But I just, like I said, you know, I always just ask to be a conduit for whatever healing is best for the person and trust that, you know, they're getting what they need.
And what this is to me is a very beautiful example, rather, of how you went through many challenges, and it wasn't all through breath work necessarily. You know, it's not like you have breath work with the cancer diagnosis or through the divorce. I mean, the breath work came later. But what helped you was, at least what I'm picking up on, is that when you were able to tap into the breath work and use it as an exercise to help you, you went inward and through, and you were able to heal on levels that you weren't able to before. And whether or not you decided to then just use that for your own healing and or then eventually figure out how can I be in service and help others, that is like that catalyst. I've shared with other people before, whether on the podcast or in sessions, that in 2000, when I decided to get my Reiki certification, it was purely just for me. I was very curious, a little bit skeptical, actually a lot skeptical, even though I had been connected to spirit and source my whole life. I just felt like, what is this, a gimmick? But I had seen some miracles happen with it. And I thought, okay, well, let me just try and understand it. So I dove head in. But my goal with that was never to be a Reiki practitioner or eventually, I mean, podcast didn't exist then, you know, so it was just more of that catalyst for me in building a foundation for me to better understand how energy works and also how to hold space and, you know, use it as a certain tool for myself. Fast forward, where I'm at now is I don't do energy healings all the time, but it is a big part in my work and whether I'm doing an interview and or whether I'm helping someone else. And so that when you and I were talking, and I hope you don't mind, so do you want to share a little bit about that? When I tapped into your energy, the first thing was, oh yeah, she's a healer, because I could feel that energy around you. I could see spirit giving me what I call my universal sign for when someone's a healer, which is their hands are kind of like this, and then they go outward, and then the light emanates from them. But also you started laughing because you said, you're like the third or fourth person that told me I'm a healer. What does it mean? And yeah. So we talked through a lot about that. And I said, well, where do you feel drawn? Where is it that you've had experiences in your life that has helped you on your healing journey? And you mentioned breath work and you mentioned the dream interpretation and work. And so where you're going now, and I also love how you framed it, is this isn't the grand experiment. You may start with breath work and it may be a piece of something that turns into something even more grand than that, but you're not meant to have all the answers. But also, it doesn't mean you have to just stay in your lane. It doesn't mean you just have to do breath work or just do dream interpretation, and you can make it your own. And that's what this beautiful thing is when we're all on our individual journeys. So I just want to say thanks for sharing that, because the healing that came through it for you, you were able to experience it. And then that gives you that, I don't want to say expertise, but to be able to say, this is what I went through. So now I can relate to someone else that might be going through this.
Yeah. So when I reached out to you, I did laugh, and I remember the conversation
That laugh right there. It's like in one ear and out the other for me when I do sessions. I just channel what spirit says, and then I'm like, boom, on to the next thing. But it's coming back as we're talking. So anyway.
And it was a similar experience for me, because what you actually said to me was, oh, you're a light worker and a healer, and you have been in many lives. And again, I was like, I don't even know what a light worker, I don't know what a light worker is. What is a light worker? And so I was like drawn right back to the first conversation of you're a healer. So I had that first session with you and you blew me away. And I had actually been dreaming about Sedona. I didn't know anything about Sedona. And one of the things you said to me was, oh, I see you in Sedona. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to Sedona. So we had this great session and I didn't know if I would ever talk to you again or what that would look like. But we had our session again, was super healing for me. I went on my merry way. I ended up telling, so I said, okay, if I'm supposed to be in Sedona, like universe, plan a trip for Sedona and get me there somehow, right? And so I ended up having a work trip in Arizona and it was in Flagstaff, which is like an hour and a half from Sedona. So I extended my trip and I went to Sedona by myself. And I didn't know it was like this spiritual Mecca. I didn't know about the vortex. I knew nothing about Sedona and I should have. So I had my first Reiki session in Sedona. And then I came back home and I started having these dreams. Like I mentioned before, my gifts show up in my dreams all the time. And in my dreams, I wasn't able to communicate. I was having trouble communicating and all of these symbols for a block for communication. And I get a lot of physical sensations in my body and I wasn't having any of those sensations. And I'm like, something's blocking me. This is so weird. Something's blocking me. I don't know what it is. And I kept asking, you know, like to unblock whatever it is that's blocking me. And I started to panic because it had been like 6 weeks.
Because
or something.
When you have your psychic or your intuitive abilities, I've said this before, it's like breathing. And when it goes away, it is like you can't catch your breath or there's a part of yourself that's missing and it feels so foreign. It's just so, and it's very frustrating because you're trying to get back what you had and you can't tap into it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super frustrating. And so I booked another session with you and that's how, because I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know how to fix this. And so I booked a session with you and this was where I learned that you really have to be careful about protecting your energy and severing those energetic connections when you've had something like Reiki done or even a psychic reading or something like that. And I wasn't very good at doing that. And so I was being blocked by someone that had worked on me while I was in Arizona. And so you thankfully were able to clear that block for me and help me. And I just feel like that's like part of my journey, right? So now I'm able to help people that are coming to me that are maybe, you know, blocked and teach, not necessarily blocked, but teach them how to protect their energy. And when they're doing all this work, how they can do that so they don't end up in a situation where I was.
So usually if I have a session with someone, I can tell ahead of time because maybe 48 hours, definitely 24 hours, and then an hour before the session, I'm doing some kind of pre-work depending on what that is with that person. And I had a block as well, not a block about getting information from you, but as soon as the session started and then you mentioned that you were having this experience, I was like, wait, this is kind of foreign. This is interesting. And so, yes. And then when I said, okay, what's the lesson here? What's the experience? They said that they being your guides and angels, that this was to help you because we don't realize, every single person who's listening to this episode that's like, I'm going to go book with a psychic or a medium or an energy healer or whatever. This is not to scare you away from it, but it's a very intimate experience. There's an exchange of energy when you're talking to someone or when you're allowing them to kind of tap in. So that's just to kind of be mindful of that. But then the importance of it is making sure, hey, are you going to close this session out? are we kind of shaking hands here and we're done and we're like peacing out from each other? And that was something that, which is why it made it into my book or the book with Dr. Scott Guerin about looking for angels, about our spiritual bill of rights and what those ethics are too with other practitioners, just to make sure. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yes. And now I tell everyone, cut those cords. And you do it so beautifully and eloquently at the end of every session, right? Where you ask to have our cords lovingly, you know, severed. And so now I teach everyone, I'm like, cut those cords, cut those energetic cords, remove your, don't let yourself, you know, remain open to other people tapping into your energy. So it was a lesson for me.
Yeah, because it also could be that there's not necessarily malintention. You know, I'm not saying like practitioners are going out there saying, I'm just going to suck someone's energy or block them. But if you don't know what you're doing or you're just playing around with it, it's like, be aware. it's be aware, because there's some people that are experts in it and have done it for a really long time, and others that just forget that to do it because they're so busy or whatever else. So yeah, you talked about dream work and dream interpretation. What was the part of the dreams that you said was really effective for you? You didn't mention specifically the dream interpretation.
So I, through a series of synchronicities, which is how this has all seemed to work, I stumbled upon this guy named Michael Sheridan, and he has a podcast too. It's the Dream Interpretation Podcast. And I had done other dream interpretation. I've classes by some really well-known dream interpretation people, and they just didn't resonate with me. And when I found Michael, I was like, oh my gosh, like this makes so much sense to me. And so again, you know, all of his podcasts, have done some sessions with him, you know, where he's interpreted dreams, and his dreams, just the way he interprets them and the symbolism and stuff just makes a lot of sense to me. I do, like I said, I get lots of visitations. I do a lot of work in my sleep, in my dreams. So I get visitations from people. I get messages from people. My guides come to me and communicate with me. And so I tend to do a lot of work in my dreams. But his methodology, and he's a channel, and he channels on your dreams, and it's all about your spiritual gifts and how to heal your body. And so it just really resonated.
Our dreams are a really powerful tool to heal, whether that's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, but also to communicate with our loved ones and our spirit team, God, universe, source, whatever, but also to manifest and, you know, astral travel, all the things. I mean, I think I've said this before, but in a lucid dream, if you're working out, there's almost just as much benefit if you're working out in a lucid dream than if you're working out in the physical. I'm like, let me work out all day long in my dreams. I'm sleeping, so I don't have to, you know, that sort of thing. But I just share that example because they have done actual science and research behind it, that it's such a powerful tool for all things. And so it does not surprise me that you're able to communicate, being a medium too, and, you know, all of that stuff too. And you mentioned this as well, but when you talked about the breath work and how usually someone's loved one shows up, I think that's a combination, you know, where you may be using the breath work and or the dreams for that kind of platform or that foundation, but loved ones are going to come through because it's a capability or ability that you have as well.
Yeah. And you know, when the thing that's amazing when the loved ones come through is it's not me telling the person, oh, your dad was here, or it's them saying,
so cool,
to me, oh my gosh.
I didn't know that, yeah.
So I will feel that, but it's not me telling them, oh, you know, someone was here. They're feeling it and they're having these images of their loved one here in the space with them. And so that, to me, that's even better.
Mm-hmm. They experience it directly themselves. I heard when you were talking that it's because you're holding space. That's why I was given the example to give to everyone about the Reiki. I don't do Reiki in every session, but Reiki is a foundational element and I'm holding space through those principles. And so for you, through the breath work and those other principles and your ability to communicate, then by holding that space, that's opening the door for others to be able to be the receiver for it.
Yeah, I do think that's what it is. I think it's just the holding the space and holding the container for that to happen if they're open to it. Not everyone's open to it, and that's fine. But if you're open to it, I have the ability to create the space for that, which is beautiful and amazing.
So what's next for you in the breath work? I mean, how's it going? And then what's next? You said it's this grand experiment. I'd like to hear how it's actually going, and then also the other part.
Yeah, it's going great. Like I said, I actually don't know if it's more healing to be on this side of it or actually practicing it. It's been very healing for me even to hold the space for people and be in that space with people. I'm doing, you know, group classes. I'm doing private sessions, both virtually and online. I'm going to be teaching regularly at a studio close by, you know, so things are picking up and starting to happen. And more importantly, like the people that I have had the opportunity to work with are having these amazing experiences, right? And they're walking out and saying, like, you know, this is life-changing. This is amazing. And so to me, that's the most important thing. And it's so just beautiful to be a part of that. I don't know what's coming next. I'm just open and saying, you know, bring me whatever is next. you kind of talked about your Reiki as an example, and for me, the breath work. But, you know, I started having people come to me, right, with cutting cords. So that there's starting to be themes and people that are coming to me, people that are wanting to cut cords, energetic cords, and helping people protect, you know, their energy and those things. So I have a feeling that that was just going to kind of continue to evolve, and where it will ultimately lead, I don't know. But I'm open and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, when you mentioned the themes, what were those things? Because that is spirit matchmaking us. You know, I say my angels match me. I have a lot of people who are empaths that come to me. I know originally you said that you were asking other people who had gone to that other medium. Does she tell everybody that they're healers? Well, I have a lot of healers that come to me. I have a lot of empaths that come to me, usually a lot of clairvoyant, but that's also because that tends to be my wheelhouse and how I can relate. And so those synchronicities end up kind of coming together. But for you, yes, because of your experiences and also you talking about it, because then people are like, oh yeah, that's intriguing. I want to know more about that. I need to learn more about that because it resonates with them. But yeah, I was asking you what's next because that was really your spirit team's question. They're like, ask her what's next. So they want you to think big. They want you to, you know, when we make these leaps of faith and we have these decisions and then we're, you know, I don't want to call it about that being in service is a professional thing, but you have made being in service more of a professional thing now because that's where your heart is. You want to be able to help more people. And so I think what, you know, their question to that is, you know, what's next is to dream big and to be thinking big. And this is just the first step into something that's bigger and just be, which you're ready for it and being open to how that evolves.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this leads. I'm really excited. I am doing, you know, some free sessions. There's a wonderful place here in Utah called The Sharing Place, and they support children who have lost either a parent or a sibling and their families. And I'm, you know, volunteering and doing some breathwork classes there for them. And there's also a cancer institute that I'm volunteering and donating some classes to. So I'm, you know, doing those things as well that I'm super excited about. And yeah, like I said, just sky's the limit. We'll see. Who knows where I'll be in a year from now.
All right, Angie, anything we haven't talked about that we want to cover before we wrap?
You know, the thing I would say is, you know, when you're going through the muck and, you know, you feel like everything has collapsed around you and you're in the darkness and you don't know how you're going to go on, there is a lesson and there are these moments, these beautiful golden moments and these lessons that we learn through those experiences. For me, I can look back at everything I went through and I came out the other side a much more empathetic person, a much less judgmental person. You know, my priorities changed. I'm way more, you know, even in my career, even though I was driven and successful, I was way more concerned about the people that I was with than the next cell. And spending time with my family, you know, huge priority that always came first. And I discovered that I have this ability to sit with people in their grief, which is not easy to do. And not a lot of people can do that. And so, you know, would I do anything to get my son back? Of course. But I am able to look back and say, oh, you know, that was terrible. And I went through all this, but there is these beautiful things that came from it as well. So when you're in the middle of it, I know it's really hard to see that and think there's going to be, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. But there is if you, you know, if you look for them. And I didn't notice it when I was in the muck, right? It took me getting out of it before I could look back and see those things. But these experiences do bring these, you know, beautiful life lessons that we can, you know, share with other people and help other people through them. So try to remember that when you're going through it.
It's such a healing message. Yeah. No, you're right. When you are in the middle of it, it's like, yeah. You know, I can look back and I was rolling my eyes sometimes even when my angels were like, don't worry about this. And even now when I'm going through something hard and I have not lost a child, you know, like you have. So my heart goes out to you and for others who have had that loss. But also when I go through things and my angels remind me, remember about this situation and how you feel now about that situation. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was a piece of cake. It was not a piece of cake when I went through it at all. But looking back, I'm like, oh, it wasn't so bad, you know? And I'm downplaying it a little bit, but But what you said was very spot on. So thank you for that. And thank you for what you do and all of your experience that you have and how you're helping others. So appreciate everything. So you offer private and group breathwork classes, both virtually and in person. You mentioned that. And then you're offering Psychic Story listeners a discount of $10 off any session with the code APSYCHICSTORY. That's all caps. And please share with people how they can reach you.
Yeah. So my website is blissedoutheart.com. And you can find me on Instagram at angie.castor, C-A-S-T-O-R.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.